Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's Romans 4, verses 20 through 21. I'm Sandra Fleck, your host. Welcome to Orphans No More. Our guest today is New York adoptive mom, Dawn Cosgrove. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's an honor and a pleasure to have you here in the studio, even with me today. And so, Dawn, you and your husband, Tom, have four biological children.
We do.
Between you and one daughter, Parimala,
yes.
Beautiful name, adopted from India. So share with us this story. What led you to adopt Parimala?
Well, adoption was not on our radar whatsoever. It was the furthest thing from our mind. We had been doing some mission work in Guatemala, and then a good friend of ours who was our pastor at the time, Vaughn, he spoke to my husband about going to India. My husband spoke to me about it, and I was like, well, we're not really feeling India, but we'll see. You know, we'll pray on it. And we prayed on it and, you know, talked about how we could get there financially. And probably a week after we started praying on it, we opened the mailbox up, and there was a check for $4,000 in
wow.
the mailbox. And it was from an unclaimed funds thing
wow.
that my husband had done on the computer. So we knew immediately what that money was for,
yeah.
that God definitely wanted us in India. We had no idea for what at that point, but we had had some people at church that had gone on a missions trip to India and worked in a special needs orphanage. Now, I'm an RN with special needs children, so I was like, well, that makes sense. That's where
yeah.
I think we're supposed to go. So prayed on it. My husband agreed and said he would help out and do some, you know, work while we were there. So while we were there, we met, you know, wonderful children. There was about 100 kids there at the time. Parimala was one who just every single day had us running to her and picking her up. And just we felt a connection, but we weren't thinking anything about adoption. The director spoke to us about adoption, and we said, no, we're not interested.
Oh, wow.
We have four yeah. older children. We're, you know, they'll soon be out of the house, so we're good. So it turned out after we got home, the director actually contacted us again and said, you know, I have other families that are interested in adopting Parimala, but I just keep getting you guys. She's like, there's just something, you know,
wow.
could you guys pray on it? And we said, all right, we'll pray on it. But my husband was adamant. He said, nope. He said, no. He said, God would have to drop a boulder on me. He said, I'm getting older now. I'm too old to start over again. And we're in a good space. And, you know, I'm not interested. I said, okay, well, we'll meet with Vaughn tomorrow. And we'll speak with him and his wife, Wendy, about it and see, you know, what the next step should be, you know, because I'm feeling yes, you're feeling no. My husband, who usually worships at church from the back of the church, suddenly on Sunday, I'm up there worshiping, and I thought I heard my husband next to me. And sure enough, I looked, and there was my husband face first on the floor, and he got up, tears streaming down his face. My husband is a pretty big guy, and he got up, tears streaming down his face, and he said, I just heard God very, very clearly.
Wow.
He said, audibly, he said, she is the boulder. You asked to be crushed when you went to India on this missions trip, mm-hmm. and you need to know that she is the boulder, and she will not make you old.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
So now, easier said than done with
yes.
international adoption.
Absolutely.
It's not always an easy road. Once you decided that you would adopt Parimala, the road to her took 5 years before you could actually travel.
Indeed.
So tell us about that journey.
Oh, well, it was an excruciating long journey,
yeah.
but also one that taught me so much in the waiting. I mean, it just, it drew me closer to God. It made me completely dependent on Him, just to sit with Him and talk with Him and listen to Him. And just, I mean, as difficult as it was, we knew that it had to be His timing.
Yeah.
Like we kept saying to people, you know, everybody was asking, when's it going to be? When's it going to be? And we said, well, we didn't ask for this. God directed us to this. We're obeying, so we know that it has to be God's timing.
Yeah.
We know that He knows the perfect time for it, and so we'll just continue to do whatever step needed to be done. We did what we had to do. We did our paperwork, and we did our home studies over again and again.
I've done that, yes.
And we had to keep refreshing fingerprints and home studies. And as frustrating as it was, we just said, just do it. Just do the next step. It'll happen. We know it'll happen. Just like the scripture, Romans 4:20-21, that's what I held on to. I knew, I was fully convinced that He was going to perform this because He had promised it. I knew that He promised it.
He would do it. So and the holdup really was in India with paperwork and government officials and all of that.
Yes. So we got matched. It took a little while to get matched because at the beginning they were saying that you couldn't choose what child you were going to be matched with. But then they said, okay, go, you know, we'll match you with your child. And then it got to one judge, and that judge just kept denying us. He denied us three times, actually.
Wow.
And he denied other families. The third time he denied us, he also denied other families. And those children were unmatched with those families. They took those children from them and put them back up onto the site, you know, so that they would be available for someone else. And for us, for some reason, which we know was God, they said, the judge said that you can give yours into the next judge. Whatever it is, you know, you're still matched and your paperwork will go into the next judge. But they didn't know when that next judge would come in. And it was over a year before the next judge came in. And then that judge just continued to shuffle our paperwork to the bottom of the pile. And it got pretty frustrating.
Yes,
and
it sounds
certainly
frustrating.
Certainly put me on the floor, on my knees.
Yes. When did you finally learn that things were going to move forward?
So it wasn't until October of 2016. So we had been in touch with our agency on a regular basis, and we had been, you know, trying to get some information. They didn't really have much information for us, just not that, you know, just to say that we shouldn't go over there, and we had to wait. And then all of a sudden on October 21st, we were supposed to have a conference call on the 22nd. We got a call on the 21st from our caseworker at our agency who said, can you guys fly to Indy on the 25th of October?
Wow.
Your court date's the 28th.
So just a few days' notice.
Yeah, a few days' notice. So we had to get our visas and our plane tickets and everything, like, quickly.
Yeah.
And it all fell into place, so God was working in every bit of it.
Wow. So you traveled over, but at that point, you still weren't able to bring her home.
No. In the state that she's in India, we had to travel over. We had our court date on the 28th, and then we had to come back on the 30th, and then stay here until December 26th, we flew back out to India. So, and we finally were able to get her, I think it was the 27th, and we came back home here to New York on January 7th.
Wow. And by that time, how old was Premila?
She was 7.
Wow.
So she was actually 2 when we first started the process. So, yeah, all those years missed out on, but God redeems the time.
He does. He does.
He certainly does.
Yeah. So during the wait, and I love these stories because you shared this testimony with me, the Lord was faithful to guide you and let you know that He was in it.
Oh, yeah.
He was in it. So share with our listeners those two stories that you shared with me.
Sure. So, you know, obviously the 5 years got very frustrating, but I knew that God was in it, and He reached out to me quite obviously a couple of times. One time we were at the Michael W. Smith concert in Poughkeepsie, and it just finished a nice time in worship, and I just was feeling such a tug on my heart about the adoption, and I was really feeling disheartened about it, and, you know, a lot of tears. And suddenly this lady came up to me at the end of this worship, and she said, you know, can I talk to you? She seemed quite nervous, and her friend kind of pushed her over, And I was like, yeah, sure. And she was like, do you have children? And I was like, yeah, I have four. And she was like, oh, okay, never mind. And walked away. And then she came back a few minutes later with her friend nudging her. And she said, I don't want to ask you this. She said, but are you pregnant? And I said, no, I'm not pregnant. And she was like, oh, okay. She said, because during worship, I kept seeing you holding a little girl, like a small girl.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. And I explained to her, you know, that we were waiting for the adoption. And she was like, oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So that was really special to us. I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. I know you hear me. I know you're with us. So, and then October of 2016, it was around the beginning of the month, and we had some guests that came to our church, Courtney and Jeremiah Bowser, and they come twice a year. So anyways, I went up for prayer to Courtney, and Courtney doesn't really know anything about me or the adoption or anything else, and she kept saying, I see this fragrance around you. You're just surrounded by this fragrance, and whatever you're waiting for, the Lord is going to, you know, it's going to happen soon. And Primula's name means fragrant.
So wow.
It was just another, you know, reassurance that, yes, just hang in there. It's going to happen.
Love
and sure
that.
Enough, it was 2 weeks after that we got the phone call. So,
Yeah. I say wow a lot, you'll notice, because just when God does, he does these things, and it's really just like, wow, God.
It's amazing.
You know, it
amazing.
Is amazing. So, Dawn, how has your church orphan ministry supported you with your adoption?
So our church has been wonderful. Before we brought Primula home, which we had the 2 month wait in between, so that was good. They threw us a wonderful shower and really got us all supplied and ready.
Incredible.
And then once we brought Primula home, they were very respectful of everything as far as, you know, attachment and bonding. Our pastor let us speak to the whole church and, you know, explain to people not to walk up to her and grab her and that kind of stuff, give us our bonding time. And they also supported us with meals. They did bring many meals to our home, so which was such a blessing to not have to worry about that at that time.
Yeah.
So.
And that's one of the things that we often the message that we try to convey is not everybody is called to adopt. Not everybody is called to foster,
exactly.
But according to James 1:27, we are all called to care, and it's hands-on care.
Yes.
So we can wrap around families that are bringing children into their home. So people don't often think about a baby shower or even a big kid shower when the kids are older.
But absolutely.
There's still a need for clothing and shoes and coats and school supplies and backpacks and all that kind of toys.
Everything.
And anything that you can possibly think of.
Yep.
And the meals.
Yes.
I know we got meals when we brought our kids home, and it was to be able to just focus on bonding and not have to focus on, I have to make dinner because you're exhausted.
And it was wonderful.
So those are
so wonderful.
Wonderful, helpful ways that the church can get involved and be hands-on and be doing orphan ministry and supporting a family and helping families to do that kind of thing. So that is wonderful. So the name of your orphan ministry again?
It's One Orphan Ministry, and we do have a website. It's oneorphanministry.com.
Wonderful. oneorphanministry.com.
Yes.
I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is New York adoptive mom, Dawn Cosgrove. Dawn and her husband have four biological children between them and one daughter, Primula, whose name means fragrance, adopted from India. So Dawn, Primula is now 8 years old,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And she has some special needs. Would you describe her to us?
So she has a diagnosis of primordial dwarfism. So right now at 8 years old, she just grew an inch since she's been home, almost an entire inch. So she's at 35 inches tall now. That's her major special need. I mean, there's a lot of things that come along with the primordial dwarfism. that we're dealing, you know, with some medical issues. But we were told by the geneticist that she doesn't have the most popular type, which is MOPD type 2, which comes with a really big baggage of medical issues. They've found that she has her own classification of primordial
dwarfism. She's very special.
Yep, and that's what we said. We're not surprised. She is that unique.
So, wow. Well, she's precious. She's in the other room, and she's just very, very sweet. And so she's been home for almost a year,
yes.
Not quite a year.
Yep.
How
had
has
10 months.
Yeah, 10 months.
Yep.
How has the adjustment been?
Well, now being the mom to four other children, you know, it's been tough. I never realized how tough this would be. It is absolutely the most difficult thing I've done in my life, but also the most rewarding thing. It's just a lot. There's, you know, with attachment and bonding and with the trauma issues that you see, you don't realize how much these kids have been through, kids who have grown up in an institution.
Yeah.
Even though it was a wonderful Christian institution, it's still an institution. It's not a family.
Exactly.
So it really is a big adjustment for them. And, I mean, the brain formation, it just blows my mind, you know, that their brain is actually that far behind from being in this institution.
Yeah.
So I read recently that for every year they're in an institution, it should be like 6 months off of their brain age.
Wow.
So, and that's completely accurate with her. Completely accurate.
Yeah.
So, but to see how much she's learning and growing now is phenomenal.
Wow.
So,
now what about, is she going to school or is she getting special services?
She's receiving services at home right now. So she has a tutor that comes for an hour a day, OT, PT, and speech that come. And I work with her for at least 4 hours a day, every day.
Wow.
So trying to catch up on things.
Full-time commitment.
Oh, absolute full-time commitment. Yep, nonstop.
Yes.
Between medical and educational and nurturing. I mean, it's just...
And that's the key. It's the nurture and the structure that they really need, and that
absolutely.
And that makes all the difference. So
and
I hear you on that, because our youngest spent 5 years, his first 5 years in an institution, and it has a huge impact.
Yeah,
you know, so
it really does.
But I can, you know, now he's been home it'll be 7 years Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
And just the world of difference.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Definitely.
Good to hear.
So there's hope. There's hope that
I know
family,
there is.
Yeah, that family, you know, nurturing, loving environment will make a difference. You will see that.
Yeah,
for sure. So adoption has a way of not only transforming us and our family, but also our church and our community.
Yeah.
So you attend Kingsfire Church in Lake Katrine.
Yes.
And down in the Hudson Valley region down there. And you've started an orphan ministry there called One Orphan. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So the interesting thing about One Orphan is that we were told by that same pastor, Vaughn Gerald, he's passed away. So it's he had told us that we should be starting an orphan ministry years ago.
Wow.
And we kind of kept putting it off and putting it off. And then while we were waiting, one of the things in the Bible, it says in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't say to wait for the Lord.
Yeah.
It says to wait on the Lord. So waiting on the Lord, if you're waiting on tables, you're serving.
Yeah.
You're serving people.
I love that.
So while waiting on the Lord, we're supposed to be serving. And so we started this ministry in April of 2016. Knowing that we needed to get the word out about adoption, you know, to our church and to whoever we could, and try to get as many people on board, you know, with adoption, with foster care, with sponsoring orphans in India. So, you know, because our heart obviously was in India. So we started that in April of 2016, and that was 6 months before the adoption was completed. So, so since that, we've gotten 21 children at two different orphanages in India, sponsored through people from our church. So,
wonderful.
And we've been able to really get the word out about foster care and adoption, and just, you know, find other people within our church who have adopted, which isn't very many yet.
Yet.
So.
That is wonderful. Now, what are your plans for Orphan Sunday?
So Orphan Sunday, one wonderful thing that's happening is that we do have a family at church who's just adopted three children out of the foster care system.
Oh, wonderful.
And they're going to be dedicating their children on Orphan Sunday,
which is
very fitting.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll be showing a brief video and just leading everyone in prayer and just really trying to get the word out more so, because we're hoping that the more we educate people,
yes,
the more people see, you know, that, you know, you can do this, that, yeah, you know, hopefully we can get more people on board,
yeah,
with it. So,
because when God calls, he equips. You can testify,
amen,
to that.
Amen.
Yeah. And I love Orphan Sunday, because that's really, Orphan Sunday is how Justice for Orphans was birthed. And oftentimes Orphan Sunday is the catalyst to families, you know, beginning to consider adoption, mm-hmm, foster care, orphan ministries get started.
Sure.
We've just seen over the past 15 years, God do incredible things,
right,
through this one day.
Okay.
So, and so for our listeners, you may be listening to this and it may be before or after Orphan Sunday, but Orphan Sunday is always the second Sunday of November, and you can get it on your church calendar if it's already past Orphan Sunday now. Get it on your church calendar for next year.
Yes.
And it's just one day for the church to come together and stand with one voice for this one purpose, to advocate for the orphan.
Yep.
And I know for 2017 there are already churches and believers in 91 different countries,
wow,
who will be observing Orphan Sunday.
That's wonderful. So, that's good to hear.
Yeah. And it all started with one little church, one little pastor in Zambia who,
amazing,
had a heart for the orphan. And then it came to the States and then spread across the States and then now is back around the country.
That's
so
great.
An incredible thing. So we always challenge the church out there, our listeners, to get Orphan Sunday on your church calendar, because God, that's what we did.
Yeah.
We did an Orphan Sunday, and through that, and already having been an adoptive mom, through doing Orphan Sunday, I was wrecked when I really began to look at the big picture. Because like you, we adopted because God said.
Yeah.
You know, he said.
Exactly.
We tried to walk that out in obedience, and we weren't looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
We just were trying to be obedient to God. But then, and we were, and we brought the kids home. And then when God opened our eyes to really, mm-hmm, there literally is a global orphan crisis.
Oh, yeah.
There's a national foster care crisis.
Oh, yeah,
crisis.
The numbers are staggering.
It's staggering. But it just takes one person to say yes and can make a difference in one child's life. So that's what we encourage believers to do. So, do you have a Parimala story that you could tell us? I know we didn't plan on that, but we have some extra time, and she's so precious. And you told me she was feisty.
Oh, she's very feisty. A specific story? I don't.
Just anything that comes to mind that you just, you know, treasure in your heart, or.
Well, one, she really loves worship at church. Her favorite song is Build My Life by House Fires, and she can sing it from start to finish. I know that she's singing it. So recently we had Jeremiah Bowser at the church again, and he actually is a recording artist and, you know, does a lot of work in Brazil and all that. Very talented singer and worshiper, writes his own music and stuff. So he had sang Build My Life, and at the end of service, we were actually having a meeting for our ministry, and he came over and was speaking to Parimala, and she started singing Build My Life to him. So he joined right in with her. She put her hand right in his face and said, no, no. She wanted to continue on her own.
Oh, yeah, I don't need any help with this. I got it.
And he chuckled. He said, well, he said, that'll humble you quickly.
I love it. See, I knew there was a story in there. So, Dawn, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear today?
I would say that just say yes. Say yes to one. Just say yes to one. You're going to think that you can't. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about the finances. Don't think about the space. Don't think about your time. Just say yes. Because once you say yes, God just puts everything in place. If we had thought about the big picture, we wouldn't have been able to say yes, but we didn't think about any of that. We didn't think about what our bank account looked like. We didn't think about what our house looked like or our children or any. We thought, we just said, this is what God's calling us to do, and so it's a yes. So yeah. I just feel like if people just lead with that yes, God will take you the rest of the way.
He will.
He will definitely lead you and guide you and just, like you said, equip you.
Yeah. That reminds me of, I don't know if you've seen this video clip of Francis Chan, mm-hmm. but he was talking about adoption, and he addressed that, you know, I'm praying about it. I don't know if this is what God wants us to do. And he's like, man, read your Bible. God already said yes. Yeah. The yes is already in there. So unless you pray and hear an audible no, the answer already is yes.
Absolutely.
It is already yes.
Absolutely.
So
yep, agreed.
It is incredible. So thank you for coming in and sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, and thank you for all you're doing. We'll be praying for you as you minister to Parimala. She is precious. So, and we thank our listeners for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I would love to come to your church, women's group, retreat, small group, or event. Just contact me through our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.